Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night services. I'd like to thank the elders allowing me to speak this evening and the prayers on my behalf. I pray that what I have studied this evening can be beneficial to everyone here. This evening, I wanted to talk to you about the Spirit. I wanted to explore with you what the Spirit is and the function and its function in God's kingdom. And I also wanted to see what it means to spiritually grow, what spiritual maturity is, and what spiritual warfare is, and how we can overcome it and stay spiritually minded in the kingdom. Strong's definition of the Spirit is a current of air, a breath, or a breeze. The word Spirit is used several different ways in the Bible and is often interchangeable with the word soul. The biblical definition of soul is a living being of life, self, person, desire, passion, appetite, or emotion. We see in Genesis chapter 2 how the first spirit was breathed into existence. God breathed life into Adam, the first man God created in his own image. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We are created by the ruler of the universe, and without God's Spirit, we would have no purpose and we would not be here today. We are a creation that without this breath of life, we would be nothing but dust that blows in the wind. With that breath of life from God, we have a spirit in ourselves that gives us purpose and gives us reassurance that we are His creation. In Genesis, the third chapter, after the fall of man, God curses man for his disobedience for eating the forbidden fruit. In this curse, our earthly bodies are to return back to the ground. Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Our fleshly bodies are to return to the dust from where it was created from. But for our spirit, it is not to return to nothingness, but back to God. We see this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, how the Spirit will return to God in the end when life comes to a close. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit will return to God who gave it. Our spirit will return to God who had given us life, and our bodies will return to the dust from the ground that God made us from. This is the cycle of what our bodies and spirit will go through in death. But it is in between the birth and death that matters. Some people waste away their invaluable lives to sin and do not follow God and His will. They fail to grow in their spirit to be that shining example. In the imagery in verse 6, this shows how fragile life is, how quickly it can be taken away. We are the image of God. Our spirit should also reflect the same spirit that breathed miraculous life into our lungs. As we look into how we can grow spiritually, know that we were all in that process of learning about God's word and how we can increase our faith in Him. Spiritual growth is learning more and leaning on God's word and studying it daily that our faith and obedience to God may grow. In Mark, the fourth chapter, Jesus tells us about the parable of the growing seed, how one seed must operate to bring forth good fruit for the harvest. In Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. We have a picture here on what our spirit looks like when we obey God's word. We must become stronger in God's word so that we can teach it to those around us, aiding the growth of God's field. Learning God's word is a commitment that is for the betterment of our own spirit. In John chapter 12, Jesus talks about this commitment. In John chapter 12, verses 25 through 26, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We should be so committed to Christ that we long to be with him, willing to die for Christ just as he sacrificed himself for our sins that we might be saved. In Colossians, the first chapter, Paul says he prays that the people of Colossae, that they may be filled with spiritual understanding and wisdom. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Paul told the Colossians that he prayed that they would be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that they could take that and teach it to more people. By spreading the word to those who we come into contact with, we show how the love of God can reach everyone, no matter where you are in your race. In Peter's first letter, he talks about how we as Christians should grow and want to grow in the faith and in God's word. He also shows us how we as Christians should put off sinful ways. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here Peter describes every new Christian born through baptism should desire the word as babes desire milk. Milk that will help us grow little by little so that we may grow into the footprint that Christ left behind for us to fill. We should be as those newborns that don't know what malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, or evil speaking is. We should be the living stone that Peter describes, chosen by God and not by man, to uphold the church that Christ set in motion. As Christians, we should offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were necessary to cleanse one of their sins. Something must die so that they may be made new again. This was done through obedience, an obedience that God wanted from the heart of his children, to obey his commandments with love and faithfulness. We all live in the new, as we live in the new covenant, we also have sacrifices that we make daily through Christ, through God. Excuse me. We also have sacrifices that we make daily to God through Christ, laying aside our own selfish desires and following God's word. Some of these sacrifices are giving ourselves to God, both physically and spiritually. We see a few examples of this in the following passages. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We should also offer our love to God and to those around us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and we walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We should also give a portion back to the church. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus things sent to you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And we should also offer praise to God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In our race here on earth, we should grow spiritually by putting away sinful and selfish desires, and we should crave and follow the word of God as newborns crave milk and offer spiritual sacrifices to God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In our daily lives, we should desire to know more about God's word, for this is the path of righteousness that can only be given through submission to God, and we must submit ourselves to God every day so that we may become worthy to be harvested. As we are in a continual state of growth, there will come a time in our Christian walk that we must be an example of what we have studied from God's word. We must take what we have learned through Scripture and teach to those around us. When we go through school, our teachers are always the ones that are ready to teach their students what they need to know at that specific point in their development. That teacher is also the one that is the most mature due to the fact that their students are younger and in need of learning and do not know when they will use those skills that they were taught. Age in the person does not always mean they are mature. What makes them mature is the way they conduct themselves and teach those around them. The most mature are those who have that experience in dealing with hardship and lean on God's word and lean on God in their faith to carry them through. As the New Testament church was growing, the apostles were the most important teachers at that time. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, we see how this teaching was applied. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through 29, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. To the end I also labor, striving according to his works, which work in me mightily. In this couple of verses, Paul wants to see everyone mature spiritually and be perfect in Christ. Perfect in verse 28 does not mean without imperfection, but complete. We should all labor to be this kind of perfect when we study with one another, rooted in love and in kindness. As we physically grow from children into adulthood, we start to put away those childish things. We become grown-ups, able to take care of ourselves and others in need. We also grow like this spiritually. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul addresses the Corinthians about love and unity together as Christians. One love that we all should have for one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 10 through 12, but when that which is perfect has come, when that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Before we are Christians, we are as a child in their childish ways, immature with no image of God and his love showing through us. Just as looking into a dim mirror, we lack clarity to see God's image in us. When we accept Christ as our Redeemer and pick up our cross, we now become unique and able to reach and encourage those others cannot. As we mature spiritually, so will our love for one another. Love rooted in Jesus Christ. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, Paul encourages young Timothy to take heed in himself on how he is conducting his teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. We all should be this example that Paul tells Timothy to be. As we become more spiritually mature, we are to be an image of God and walk just as Christ did on this earth, an influence to others. Paul told Corinthians to imitate him as he imitated Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. As Christians, we must conduct ourselves, as Paul says in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Not leaning into sinful ways that tarnishes that example that we are to be. We are all a single unique person created by God with different strengths and weaknesses. God has given us gifts that we must practice and apply to our lives. If we do not use them, we risk losing those gifts as time goes on and miss those who need God the most. Be one of God's workers that he looks forward to seeing. Basing your life on his word and teaching it to those in need. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In our spiritual walk on this earth, we will encounter many tribulations. There is a constant war going around us and inside of us. These are the forces that are evil, worldly, and man-made, designed by Satan to come between us and God. This evil can take on many different forms in our lives, in forms of distraction, like social media, that cause anger, lust, and envy, and keeps us from the Word of God that could further our spiritual growth, in forms of stress and anxieties that causes us to stray away from that narrow path and keep our focus off of God. Paul talks about how we can overcome these evils. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks of an armor to withstand and fight against these evils. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We must put on the whole armor of God to stand against these evils. Evils designed specifically to catch our eye and draw our focus away from God. Know that you're not alone in this fight. Know that you have a powerful God that breathed a powerful spirit into you that is in his image. Also, we also cannot fight this evil when our spirit is weak. We must practice and learn how to grow spiritually and draw closer to God each day. Get up every day knowing that we must develop and be more like Christ every day, or our works could be in vain. As we are all in different stages of spiritual growth in this life, we take and give encouragement to those around you. We can grow to be better followers of Christ when the helping hands of our brothers and sisters, with the helping hands of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all created uniquely and given a spirit by God. Use your time wisely on this earth to grow that spirit and bring forth those good fruits, just as in the parable of the growing seed in Mark chapter 4. Encourage others through love, that we may grow and mature into Christians that we should be. I'd like to thank everybody coming out to our Wednesday night services. If there's anybody that would like to start their walk tonight with Christ, we can surely aid you. If you have a need of the church, whether it be prayers or help, we invite you to come sit on the front row as we stand and sing.